find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? Good Monday. What's going on?
Summer out again.
How you guys doing? Yeah, it's hot.
It's like 80 degrees.
It's burning up out there.
What are we doing?
I
don't think I realized how hot it was. I brought out the sweatshirt this morning, and then when I got dressed, coming from the gym, I was like, whoa, like, what are we doing here? And I looked at the old phone, the weather app on my telephone, and I went, oh, I did not anticipate.
Here we are again.
Yeah, I was like, what, we got summer part three?
I think it's supposed to be 90s tomorrow.
Well, my buddy's down in San Francisco right now. It's 91 down there.
Come on.
What? It's like almost October. It's 91 in San Francisco?
That is always the hottest time of year in San Francisco.
Is it really?
September, October. They have a weird Indian summer.
I assumed that San Francisco, anytime, I've been to San Francisco probably 8 to 10 times in my life. It's 71 and cloudy during the summer. And then if it's not in the midst of the summer, then it's 59 and rainy.
Like, what? Yeah, and often foggy and windy.
91?
Wait, I thought summer was colder there.
Summer, probably colder than 71 usually. I would say 60-ish in the summer with fog and wind.
Well, here we go. That's apparently, we're the new Arizona between us and San Francisco. It's hot as balls. I was not prepared
now,
for this heat.
The people want to know.
What do we got?
Will you be turning your sprinklers back on?
No. No, they're off. I turned the main line off.
Done for the season.
Yeah. You know, you go in the ground, that way it doesn't freeze or whatever. So I officially made the decision like a week ago to go and turn off the main line. And once that's turned off, it does not come back on.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we're done. And look, let's be honest. If it gets a little brown for a week or two,
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, we broke out the Halloween decorations this weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I saw some of those in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was like, not ready for that.
No, I did. You ever had one of those days where you do absolutely nothing and it's everything that you ever dreamed it to be?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the BTJ, as she's leaving to go do whatever she's doing, I got hit with several assignments. And one of those assignments, because she won't go into the murder shed. No one, the murder shed, like, I could do whatever I wanted in there. No one's going in there.
Now, is that where the Halloween decorations are?
That's where the Halloween decorations are, and the bodies. You go into the murder shed or the haunted shed. I have two sheds. And so I had to go in there and dig out the Halloween decorations, and I was like, what? Well, Halloween? And then I realized we're like a week away from October. Kind of threw me for a loop. But yes, the Sukanic household now, not outside, but inside, yeah, we're full Halloween. There's pumpkins, there's lights, there's a skeleton for some reason on our entry bench. I don't know.
Little early.
But again, when you don't have anything to do with it, like literally, I sat and I watched football while they decorated. So I don't really, like, how do you complain and say it's too early when you literally do nothing other than bring the decorations in from the murder shed?
Maybe you could tell her that something happened to him out in the murder shed, you know? Like, they're just covered in rat feces or whatever.
You know, but then the problem is, you know what happens then? We just go buy
you
more.
You have to buy
we
new
buy
ones.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this will save you some money.
Yeah. I don't want to buy more Halloween decorations. I don't want to buy the Halloween. I didn't want to buy the decorations we have now.
You'd love our house.
Yeah. None?
Not one thing.
I do not understand the season to season changes, but again, it's beyond my pay grade. I mean, I get like Christmas.
You mean the decorating?
Yeah.
The decorating holidays and
like
stuff?
Like Christmas I get, right? You put up a tree, there's a, you know, there's some stockings, but I do not understand the changing of the seasons with the interior decorations. Like, God forbid, like come November 1st, if we still have a skeleton up, then we freak out. Come December 1st, if we still have the, I don't know, whatever the fall leaves up, then that's sacrilegious. And then you got to go into spring and that's got its own thing. And it's just, I'm constantly we got big bins and bins are going in, bins are going out. And I'm like, why don't we just come up with one kind of universal scheme and then like, for Christmas, like, that's the only time I feel like the interior of the house should make a radical shift.
Why don't you just leave them all up?
Well, you know,
Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving. What else is there?
Well, you got Fourth of July.
Just leave it all up.
You'll appreciate this. I got a neighbor, maybe like 2-3 blocks down from where I live, and they're big Halloween people. They love the Halloween.
I do not appreciate that.
And no, but you will appreciate this. And that the Halloween decorations stay up all year long. Like, they've got a zombie crossing sign. You know, they got the guy, like, the zombie coming up out of the ground. That's year-round.
Yeah, I told you about the house that's down my street that has the 10-foot-tall werewolf that stayed up through February.
Stays up.
Yeah.
Is it still up?
No, it came down February, March.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they have...
Stayed up through Christmas, though.
They have two sizable trees in their front yard, and there's a big spider web that stretches between the
Scary.
Two. Scary. Yeah, and it's probably, I don't know, like... 6 feet across by 6 feet high. It's a good spider web. And that spider web stays up all year, but they change the spider web, like what's in the web, based on the season. So when like the 4th of July hits, there's all American things in the spider web. And then the zombie coming up out of the ground has like an Uncle Sam like top hat on it. And then for Christmas, then Santa's like reindeer are in the spider web. And there's a Santa hat on the zombie. So it's weird in that the Halloween is year round. And then the Halloween gets incorporated into every other season. It's the damnedest thing.
But you're still swapping out decorations.
They are. But Halloween never stops. It's Halloween 12 months out of the year, and then I've never seen a zombie Santa, but until my neighbor. But it's so weird.
You know, you also think in today's technology era,
yeah,
perhaps we could just have something that we put up that we can press a button and it shifts to the next.
Well, they have those. They have
See, there it is right there.
They have like these things. We have one, but it's only for Christmas. And to be honest with you, I haven't put it up in like 3 years. It's like a big floodlight, and you just stake it in the ground, and then it projects images on your house.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And then it will do Halloween images, and then we'll do Thanksgiving images, and then here's we'll do Christmas images.
I purchased it thinking that can be the end of my exterior decoration, right? Christmas comes along, I got Christmas stuff up. Halloween? Yeah, that didn't work. The BTJ shut that down immediately because that wasn't nearly festive enough. It was very lazy on my part. I bought it thinking exactly what you were thinking is this solves all of our exterior problems. Nay, doesn't work.
Mm.
I was told to shut up and go out and put up the decorations.
That's too bad.
Yeah. It was like $100 too. Like, you know, it's, and she said, if I want, I can use it as a supplement. But you know, apparently it wasn't good enough. I don't know what to tell you.
Here's somebody who says, and this is the Vancouver Ford text line, guys.
Yes, where your money goes farther.
503-864-6326. Well, your money doesn't go further on the text line, but it does at Vancouver Ford.
The text line is free, so.
Yeah. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. They said, neighborhood bro leaves up his 8-foot pumpkin skeleton guy, and then they just put a new seasonal or holiday flag in his hand throughout the year. Now, that's a good way to go.
Yeah, that's kind of like what my neighbor does.
Yeah, it's a little easier.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's too much of a beating.
Yeah.
Well, we don't decorate at our house. I have a few little Christmas lights, and they're up year-round, and I just turn them on in December. That's it.
Yeah, well.
It's all I'm willing to do.
I appreciate that you've won that battle, because I tried to do that, and I got shut down. Yeah, no,
she doesn't care.
Because I get this one a lot. What does it affect you? Just sit there and shut up. And then I'm like, it's a valid point.
What does what affect you? It affects you. You have to put it up.
Yeah, I do have to put up the exterior stuff. The interior, not so much. And then for the interior, I get shut up. It doesn't affect you. And for the exterior, I get this. Look at everything I do. I ask you to do one thing. She loves that one. Loves that one.
And she's probably right.
Yeah. So, you know.
And there's really no, I'm trying to think of a retort.
I don't have a good retort for it. You know, it's so then, you know.
Yeah, go put up the decks.
Yeah, she breaks out the cleaning, the dishes, the cooking, all that, the laundry. And then I'm like, she's like, I ask you to put up one row of lights. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And then, you know.
Well, just leave them up. Okay, that's what I think. Ryan Buckley is here, everybody. Hey! He is back. Hello. Sun River Stand Play, how was it?
It was wonderful. Really good time. I even met a P1 out there.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. There we walked into Sun River Brewing for dinner on Saturday night. And
yeah, you did.
There was a bunch of bros in there. We were a bunch of bros. There were already even more bros in there, and they're all in these like matching white t-shirts that looked like they're on some like bachelor party or something like that. Uh-huh. I didn't really pay it any mind, and then one of the guys comes over and he asks my friends if they know that they're sitting with a celebrity. And I didn't know what he was talking about either. And he's like, I'm a P1. I love primetime. And then turned out they were all there for a dadchiller party. So I think
A
dadchiller party.
Oh my God.
What is it? Oh,
so someone's going to become a dad. He's got bros who are going to be uncles and stuff like that.
Okay. So they all wore matching shirts. They all went samesies?
Well, the dad had one that said dad, and then there was like cool uncle, and you know, there's a bunch of other stuff like that. So
let me just say for the record that if you were in a shirt that says cool uncle, I can assure you, you are not.
Oh, it was all made for the event. I don't think they're actually wearing these around most of the time.
I didn't know guys did things like that.
I did.
Apparently just got together and drank beers.
I don't think they do, but
and told
you know.
Dirty jokes. Whatever happened to those days?
Dachshund.
I don't know.
Wow.
But P1 Josh, big listener, played at Portland State. Really nice guy.
Hey, way to go, P1
played
Josh.
Played what?
Running back. Okay, so this was the funny part is he just wanted to say hi. The dude who was like the dad for the dadchler party, he was sauced. And so he comes back over and he wants to tell me about his buddy Josh who came over's football career. And
man.
And Josh is looking at me and he's shaking his head. He's like, no.
Guys, don't do that.
No.
Please.
And Josh knew that was no. He's we went 0-12. We don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could just say, hey, played at Portland State, big sports guy. I listened to your show. Thanks a lot.
Well, he didn't introduce, like, offered. His buddy did, who was all hammered. So,
Did you get a drink out of it? They buy you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did not.
Right. Thought maybe you may have weaseled that into a beverage, but, you know.
Would be nice.
Now, how did they recognize you?
I don't know. Well, probably either YouTube, the CW.
Buckley's known.
I don't know.
Look at him. Look at that handsome man over there. He's a known figure.
Hmm.
He was wearing a shirt that said Primetime. He had his name on the back.
That's right. I was wearing the My Son is an Idiot shirt.
It said, I am the producer of Primetime with Isaac and Suk, if you must know.
It's like the guy that plays at Oregon that wears the Oregon shirt. You're like,
But I'm trying. Look, could you leave me alone?
So when I saw Martell Webster at Nordstrom's in a full Blazer warm-up outfit, I was like, ooh. As if you didn't stand out enough. Sweet warm-ups there, Martell.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know. Well, I mean.
Think he's around?
I doubt it.
He's from here.
Well, he's from Seattle.
Oh, that's right. Seattle.
Yeah, he's a Seattle guy. Yeah, you know, he played a long time in this league.
Nice guy.
Yeah, Martell Webster was nice. What did he finish up with the Wolves?
Sure.
So I don't know
Sounds
when.
Sounds right.
I don't know when the last time he played. Let's take a quick glancey here. Oh, well, dude, he's been done since 17, man.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. He's 37 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, well, successful surgery to repair a labrum, and then that was it. Ended with the Washington Wizards.
Rest in peace.
The great Martell Webster.
The great Martell Webster.
I'll never forget when he got drafted, he had that weird world coat on.
Yeah, and you gave him crap about it, and it was all downhill from there, our relationship with him.
He was a nice guy.
He did not like that.
No.
But at the same time... look, it was a coat with a world map on it.
Look, someone had to discuss it.
That's right. It's called courage.
I merely asked the question.
No, you gave him a hard time, but it's like, yeah, you know, you have the courage to do that. Not a lot of people do. Look, everyone thought.
Yeah, everyone.
What you were thinking.
Everyone was thinking the same thing.
And he got defensive because he knows that's, look.
He wasn't comfortable wearing that coat.
That's right. That's why he got defensive.
I mean, like, what, you got an atlas on you? Like, someone's going to ask you.
I mean, what is that?
It's like, I think it was like a yellow leather world map. It was very interesting.
He was a rookie.
Yeah.
Someone had some bad advice.
Someone had to ask the question. So,
well, hopefully he's doing great. We have a big show today.
Really big show.
I'm told. We've got some Pac-12 news to discuss.
Turned down at the altar, huh?
Our NFL Week 3 Ted Nugent and our college football catwalk. You excited?
On the catwalk. We're going to do a little turn.
Meow.
I can't turn left. I'm not an ambi.
I'm going to put up the poll question here during the break, and we're going to have that for you when we return on The Fan. Hey, what's up? I'm not going to put up the poll question. I got window daddy duties.
Can I say that I love that we're coming out hot with the niche?
Right off the top.
Right, you know, it's setting a tone
right
from the beginning.
We're setting the tone.
That's
you know what's coming up, too? The Advocates.
Man.
All right here in the first hour.
Whew.
Let's bring it. well, right now at Window Nation, you can buy two windows and get two more free and pay nothing, no interest, and have no payments for 24 months. This is if you need new windows for your home. Fall is almost here, even though it doesn't feel like it today. You don't want to be stuck with inefficient windows. You'll be paying higher energy bills this winter. They have a lifetime warranty. They can install in a day or less, and their installers are all very experienced, some of the most experienced in the marketplace, and their windows are all made locally for our climate by Milgard. So this is the company if you need new windows. Window Nation. Buy two windows, get two free, zero down, no interest or payments for 24 months. So get on the books for an estimate that is free and no obligation. Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. You can also visit windownation.com. And please, for the love of God, tell them you heard it from me on The Fan. Time to jam. All right, nice to have you along. Good Monday. It's time for our poll question. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. First, wrapping up Friday's question, we asked you, you must pick one of these four as your head coach for one season. Who do's you's choose? Proper grammar.
I like it.
I think.
I do. I do know.
You do knew that.
I do knew that.
Kyle Whittingham winning big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Bigly.
That's a big win, by the way, for Utah.
I do knew that.
They handled their business.
Yeah, 66% Kyle Whittingham. Lincoln Riley, 25%.
Lincoln Riley did not handle his business, although I don't think that's on Lincoln Riley, but, you know, they didn't handle their business. They should have won that game.
Mike Gundy, 5%, and Brian Kelly, 4%.
Even though they did win, boy, all of a sudden that LSU win for USC, it's looking less and less impressive because LSU,
It's funny how each week goes by and we learn more and more about
teams. You got to be careful with comparative statements. This team did this against this team, therefore, you know, this other one did this and, you know, all that. But look, it's safe to say, like, UCLA is objectively not good. And for LSU at home to be in a bit of a dogfight with them, that was and they won comfortably, but that was kind of a shocking sort of, like, wow, I can't believe they're letting these guys hang around.
We'll get to all of that coming up in our college football catwalk.
Yes.
That wraps up Friday's poll question. Today we're asking you, whose play is most surprising? Is it Malik Willis, Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, or Sam Darnold?
It's Sam Darnold. And it's not just Sam Darnold. Don't get me started. We can do a whole thing.
I want to get you started.
So, you know, I told you before I go to bed, if you have NFL Premium, you can... From NFL.com, you can pull up condensed games and you can watch the All-22. And I'll tell you right now, there is not a more surprising and impressive coach team on both sides of the ball in the NFL right now than the Minnesota Vikings. What they are doing with what they have, there just isn't a better story right now in the NFL. And we know on offense, obviously they have Justin Jefferson, who is all world, but dude, that offense is not littered with elite players. It just isn't. Although Aaron Jones has been great. And then on the defense, dude, it is the definition of outcasts and free agent signings and guys like Van Ginkle out there making plays, you know, reject from Miami. It is a hodgepodge of guys. And if you want to know what coaching can do in the NFL, look no further than Minnesota. And it's not like their schedule has been easy. Right? What Minnesota is doing right now, they have confounded the 49ers. They made the Houston Texans. Now, some of that early on, it was one of those games that wasn't working from Houston and it kind of spiraled out of control. But they have handled two very, very good offenses. And what Brian Flores is doing on the defensive side of the ball without a lot of talent is amazing. And then at this point, when we talk about elite, not just play callers, but schemers, right? People that design offenses and put you in good spots, right? We give Shanahan the love. We give McVay the love. I think Mike McDaniel, by the way, some of that shine has come off a little bit. And we really need to start putting Kevin O'Connell in the same class, because what he's done in Minnesota since taking over, what he did with Cousins, what he did with that offense, and now what he's doing with Sam Darnold. And we'll see if this is sustainable long term, because like I said, there is not an abundance of talent in Minnesota, but that is the best surprise and the best coach team. Not surprise team. That's the best coach team right now in the NFL.
Pretty impressive.
Yes.
Pretty impressive. But you could also make the case that the job LaFleur is doing with Malik Willis.
Incredible.
Is up there.
And yes, LaFleur, by the way, I think we've already done that. LaFleur belongs in that same class of those elite schemers.
The job that Canales did with Andy Dalton this week. You know, Canales is the guy who resurrected Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And then you have the job that Arthur Smith is doing in Pittsburgh with Justin Fields. Now, that one is a little different because we're used to seeing Pittsburgh win ugly, you know, and without a lot of offense.
Yeah.
That's like Tomlin that's, style.
This is what they're doing.
But they, but he looks, you know, Fields looks good. He says he's a lot more comfortable.
Well, and they're
and
they're
you know,
they're not asking him to do things that he's
exactly.
not comfortable doing.
Well, that's
doing.
The whole point. Isn't that the whole
yes.
point of getting these guys on, you know, to feel more confident and be able to play a little better
yeah.
is that. And they're doing that with Malik Willis, too, in Green Bay. So all of these, you could say, coaching, you know, coaching matters in the NFL. Well, coaching matters everywhere. It's just glaring when you see it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see because those guys, I mean, my God, Sam Darnold MVP after yeah. 3 weeks. Are you kidding
well,
me?
And again, I'm, I there will be,
are you
I love
me?
What Sam Darnold is doing, but there will be a regression here. We've seen this from O'Connell where, it's surprising he's doing it against really good teams. Although the Niner defense at this point, eh. But when you look at what he's done, even when Kirkers got hurt, right, he had these brief moments with some of the backups. Nick Mullins was back there slinging it. So there will be some regression because when you go back and look at these games, Sam Darnold is trying to be old Sam Darnold at times, and then O'Connell reels him in and no one's really made him pay. But he is dealing right now. I don't know. And I thought this with New Orleans. Remember, I said, I don't know if what New Orleans is doing is sustainable to the level because so much of that is scheme. It's not necessarily talent. I wonder. Now, I think that O'Connell in Minnesota is much different than Kubiak down in New Orleans. But I do think that there is going to be a regression in Minnesota as more tape gets out on what they're doing on both sides of the ball. I think some of this will come back down to earth a little bit. And I think Darnold will kind of, I don't know if he's going to go back to being old Sam Darnold. I think that, you certainly can't say that. I just, by the time we get to week 8 or 9, I doubt we're talking about Sam Darnold as an MVP. I don't think it quite shows up like that on film.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
But what he's doing right now and what they're asking him to do, and they're so, like Aaron Jones has been, arguably right now, this is the best running game in football. And when you talk about, you know, success in the NFL, dictating terms, playing ahead of the chains, being on schedule, and that is what they're doing. And then they're asking Darnold to play in the confines of a comfortable system and just get the ball to Jefferson. And Darnold's doing it, and it's really, really impressive. I'll be interested to see what the response from defenses, because we see this all the time. Once we get a look at you for 4 or 5 weeks, there are going to be some teams on both sides of the ball with Minnesota. They're going to start throwing some different things at them because, again, it's not an uber-talented team, and then we'll see what Minnesota's adjustment to it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL, right?
I love it.
Is that X's and O's chess game.
Yeah.
But,
and you see the difference between the haves and the have-nots as far as coaching
yes,
staffs.
Coaches, that's right.
It's just, that's it's right. such night and day difference.
Well, it so is. It's like, I think the best example is the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, the Eagles won, and yeah. give them credit.
It's such a talented
But they
roster.
Won in spite of Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy sucks. That's a loaded roster and a very mm-hmm. good franchise with a bad coach. Yeah.
I would
it
love
is.
To see if you could take O'Connell and Flores
yeah.
and give them
exactly.
the Eagles team.
Exactly.
I feel like that's a Super Bowl winner. This Eagles team, it just kind of feels like you're just
They're not going to win.
No.
They're not going to win with him.
No.
And they'll fight, and they've
yeah.
got a hell of a roster,
yeah.
and they could make some noise. They already have. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl. But that dude... And now there are reports that he and... Hurts can't even be in the same room.
Yeah, everything's hunky dory though, and you get that down in Dallas. Dallas is always bitching
Crazy.
And moaning at each other, and yeah, the coaching in the NFL, it's everything.
Well, I just
it is
love
absolutely everything.
Well, it's not everything though. I would push back on that and say that the NFL. I think one of the reasons the NFL is so great is that every single aspect of an organization matters. By about the same degree, front office,
mm-hmm.
ownership, cap management, quarterback, coach, GM, all of it. You have to have all of it.
Sure.
And if you look at, like, if you have a weakness anywhere, like the Eagles at coach or some teams, I mean, you know, weaknesses all over the place or like Carolina, just bad owner,
yeah.
like that. You see that it is reflected. Like you have to, everything has to be in sync.
I just was
and
talking,
I think that's.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I just
no,
think that's what makes the NFL so great. Whereas
yeah.
in baseball, you can just you know, you have a good a smart GM can win you a lot of games just because of what he did. Like Howie Roseman's a really good GM in Philly, but he cannot coach. You still have to have a really good coach put your pieces together, and then you got to manage the money. Dallas can't do that. They're terrible at that. That's Jerry. So I think that's one of the things about the NFL that's great. And we're seeing that where you have some teams with bad quarterbacks or technically no quarterback, and yet here they are winning games.
Yeah, it's a valid point. I guess when I say everything to me, I guess it was more along the lines of it's glaring when you look at like what Chicago has and as far as young quarterbacks go, right? And what they're doing for Caleb Williams versus what Green Bay is doing for Jordan Love, what Green Bay is doing for Malik Willis, what Kevin O'Connell is doing for Kirk Cousins, and what he's doing for Sam Darnold. When you see the coaching staffs that get it, when you see both sides of the ball that scheme well and put their teams in advantageous situations and don't get exposed and give themselves a chance to win, it's just so glaring. I guess that's my thing when I say it's everything. It's just so glaring, the teams that are well-coached and disciplined and well-run and the teams that are not. And, yeah, sometimes you have teams that are just uber-talented and they can overcome these sorts of things. But more often than not, like, if you ask me, would I rather have a average coach team that has a superior roster or a roster that's put together, and this goes to your GM thing, of the right guys that play in a really, really good scheme and a really, really good system and that fit a cohesive idea of what you want a team to be, I will take that every single time. We love to make a big deal out of star players, right? Dallas. Oh, Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. And we do this. Oh, well, you know, we need to go out and get a number one receiver. If you don't have a Jordan Jefferson, then you can't win in this league. And it's horse bleep. There's a reason why most players outside of quarterbacks don't even move the point spread a point. This is a team game.
Yep.
And
can't have holes.
It's really hard to have holes.
The whole roster has to be solid.
Yep.
You have to balance the rookie pay with the veterans.
And what do you do when you have to pay your quarterback? And
you know you got to make tough decisions. The whole thing is the way it's structured is makes it a really interesting league.
Yeah.
And it creates the parity that we're seeing. So whose play is more surprising? Malik Willis, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, or Andy Dalton? Vote on X at 1080 The Fan. And damn it, vote hard.
Oh, I did. I voted the hell out of the Minnesota Vikings.
Quick note on this before we move on to some Pac-12 news. I was looking at those four. They combine make $21 million this year, those four guys.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow combined make $105 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
1-5. Those guys are 9-0, the previous four. 9-0 at $21 million. Dak and Burrow, 1-5 at $105 million. But the worst part is, the worst of all of it is, we all know Dak and Burrow are the guy you want if you want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. But it's
the guys you want.
Yeah. Because the scrapwood pieces that you found on the heap, you know, Geno 3-0, Justin Fields 3-0.
But Sam it's cool Donald, to 3-0. I just think it's cool to see these teams having some success with these guys that were written off. Yeah. Like Malik Willis having success in Green Bay makes their staff under Mike Vrabel look bad.
Yes.
And somewhat the same with Fields, certainly with Darnold.
The problem is that when you get to play the better teams that are well coached and then they have the Pat Mahomes or they have the Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, we all know
that's when rubber meets the road.
Yeah, I mean, you don't win. No. Well, the Eagles won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So
that's
it
true.
Can be done.
But they didn't get there with him.
No, they didn't.
They got there with Carson Wentz.
But I just think it's cool what Sam Darnold is doing. And he's drawing a lot of comparisons to, like, Baker Mayfield. But I think that's a bad comparison because I just think Darnold was way worse off than Baker Mayfield. And
agreed.
Completely written off way more than Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Mayfield has always had kind of that.
Yeah.
He's got something.
Yeah, he's got hurt.
We can do. He needs to mature a little bit. He needs to be in the right system. We can do something with him. Darnold never had that. Darnold was just like, he sucked.
Yep.
He was a bust.
He was terrible.
Completely dead.
Yep.
Left for dead.
Geno Smith. That's a better comparison.
To who?
To Sam Darnold. Geno was written off, done,
exactly.
Not a starter.
Yes.
And by the way, Geno right now, Geno is playing at a top 6 or 7 quarterback rate right now in the NFL. And so is Sam Darnold. It's 3 weeks, but Geno's got a larger sample, but it's got to make you feel good for those two guys who were, like you said, beyond written off.
All right, well, the Pac-12 is not getting Air Force.
No.
And they are not getting UNLV.
Nope.
All the latest news on what they're doing, conference realignment continuing next. Here is Buck. All right, well, the Pac-12 news is hot and heavy today for whatever reason.
And it's not good. Like, we kind of thought that there would be big news coming out of it, that the Pac-12 had kind of got its at least for the foreseeable future, its members. And then we were told not so fast.
Well, they did get Colorado State, Fresno State, Boise State, and San Diego State.
Yeah, but that happened a while back.
Yeah.
But so they're sitting at six. We knew they had to get to, you know, at least eight. Arguably, they wanted to get to 9 or 10. So, you know, they were sniffing around the AAC schools. We knew that. And today was kind of put up as a deadline for that. And then if that didn't work out, they would maybe sniff back around some of the Mountain West schools. And apparently they got told no on both fronts.
Yeah, so Air Force and UNLV are staying in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
That was, they reiterated that today.
Yeah, Pete Thamel had that, said sources that UNLV and Air Force are committing to it. And that's a big deal because for the Mountain West, that's kind of their two anchor schools right now.
Yeah, and I guess the report is that the Mountain West is offering them cash. Basically taking the exit fees from the four schools that left for the Pac-12 and offering guaranteed money to UNLV and Air Force and everybody else in that league to, in order to stay.
Yes.
And that seems to have worked.
Yeah.
And then you have, in the American Athletic, you have Tulane, Memphis, South Florida, and Texas San Antonio, and all four of those schools announced they are staying.
Yeah. So the AAC, and I saw this last week, that the AAC was putting on a big blitz to their teams, basically saying, with the Pac-12, you have an unknown, right? You don't know what the media deal is. You don't know what the leadership is. All of that is very strange. And by the way, it's a long way to travel. Same thing we've heard from, you know, Pac-12 fans that broke up about going to the Big Ten and certainly with going to the ACC. The difference is those schools are getting a lot of money. The AAC media deal is $9 million per school. It's the best of the group of five, soon to be group of six, right? Media deals. So the Pac-12 is kicking around a number somewhere between 9 and 12 million, seems to be the one that everyone's kind of kicking around. Some people believe that that's closer to 10. So, and I brought this up last week, for a school like Tulane, is it worth packing up and going out west for an extra $1 million? And supposedly what the AAC did was tell their teams, hey, we are on top of this. We understand. One, we have a media rights deal that's going to be on par, if not, you know, right, I don't know about better, but on par with the Pac-12. And they are going to bring in private equity. They understand that they cannot operate the way that the Power Four do, and they already have a plan in place to be aggressive and kind of be the most forward-thinking group of five conference. And they sold that to their teams. And apparently they sold it to them enough to where the unknown of the Pac-12 wasn't enticing.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It sort of feels like they're all kind of the same.
Yeah. Well, and
so why bounce around? Like, yeah, I would imagine they got a better deal now because they were being flirted with.
Sure.
So,
you know, maybe you get a little extra area. And, you say, hey, when the private equity comes in, you know, you guys get a little bigger slice of the pie.
And the other thing to me is that I just feel like I don't know how much it matters, the difference between like the Mountain West and the American Athletic and the new Pac-12 and whatever else, whatever other stupid leagues are out there. First of all, nobody knows who plays in what.
No.
Like, can you name the AAC teams?
I mean, I can. Yeah, actually, I can. For the
all of
part.
Them?
Oh, not all of them, but I can give you the big ones.
Because I'm looking at the standings.
Yeah.
It's Army, Navy, North Texas, East Carolina, South Florida, Memphis, Tulane, obviously we talked about, UTSA, but then also UAB, Tulsa, Florida Atlantic.
It's not great.
Rice, Temple. Like, who cares? What is the difference between that and this Mountain West that now has Air Force and UNLV as its top teams? Pac-12 is maybe a little better because of Oregon State and Washington State, but not much because they're now going to have to add, like, they're saying now that Utah State has been offered a spot in the Pac-12.
Yep.
And then that's what, seven? So they need at least one more, if not three more. And what's that going to be? Like North Dakota State?
Well, and my thing is, what I don't understand, this notion of like, oh, we want to build the toughest conference. I don't think you do. To me, when you're talking about the group of five here or group of six, whatever you want to call it, look, your media deal is going to be what it is, right? There's
it's kind of all the same.
Exactly. There's not a single thing. The Mountain West deal actually sucks. The Mountain West pays like $4 million a year. So, but when their deal is up, I would assume that they get a bump and get closer to that $9 or $10 million. But there's not a single school amongst this group that drives any sort of TV revenue, right? So the deals are all going to be somewhat comparable to each other. So this idea of the AAC being tougher than the Mountain West or the Pac-12 being tougher than the AAC, who cares? You only get one shot at getting into the playoff. And I would make the argument that playing in a softer conference and being 11-1 is better than playing in a tougher conference and being 10-2.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the only thing that matters for those schools are, can you have a media deal that's somewhat functionable? And I think that's all going to happen because, like you said, all those deals are going to be roughly the same. And then it's about access to the playoff. And I don't think that going through a tougher gauntlet of the group of five
playoffs
makes any sort of difference. And I think schools are starting to realize that. And they're like, dude, we're not jumping ship to go pack up and go to something that we don't know, because you can call it the Pac-12. At the end of the day, it's unknown leadership. It's unknown who the rest of the teams are, whereas the AAC has some stability. The one that I think is surprising is UNLV. UNLV and Air Force said no. Like, that's the one that I found odd. And I also want to see how much money the Mountain West agreed to pay them to get them to stay.
Yeah.
And isn't it weird that it's the Pac-12's own money that's getting those two schools to stay?
I would imagine if they were going to get UNLV and Air Force, they would have got them initially with the other four. So obviously they were holdouts from the beginning.
Yeah. And, or maybe the Pac-12 was trying to play tough and only give them half shares, thinking that...
Yeah, well, that didn't work.
That didn't work.
So, yeah, I mean, the Mountain West figured out, hey, we got a bunch of money coming in from all these exit fees. We'll just give it to the eight remaining schools. And for them, they're like, well, I can take that, or I can go to the unknown of this projected Pac-12 revenue, which isn't that much better than what the Mountain West will be once, like you said, they get a new deal. So I'll just take the we'll just take the cash.
Yeah.
And stay here.
So,
and like you said, it's easier to win here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's one other consideration here that we haven't discussed, which with regards to these group of fives, and we'll get to that and wrap up the convo next on The Fan.
Yeah. The home of Dirt and Spray.
I'm Dirt.
I think the five layer gets more credit than the seven layer.
Mm.
Seven layer, it's like somebody gets nervous about that extra two layers.
That's a lot of layers.
I guess, how do you go about wiggling that up?
I'm asking questions. So if Kansas State loses and this guy doesn't shove a burrito up his bum, they're now going to be cursed. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
That's the lesson of the day.
I think you got to freeze it.
No.
Dirt and Spray. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on 1080 The Fan.
So, Pac-12 trying to fill out its roster today.
Not going well.
No, we'll see what Utah State says.
Yeah, so Utah State is on the clock. And if Utah State accepts...
And they're in the...
They're in the Mountain West.
Mountain West, yeah.
So, remember, so the four AAC schools said no. UNLV Air Force, no. Now Utah State... down the line. Gonzaga supposedly is in talks, multiple sources of the Pac-12, but that would be basketball only, so that wouldn't make any difference to what we're talking
about.
That'd
be kind of cool, though, for hoops.
Yeah, I was surprised, because that was the Big 12 originally talked about maybe going to grab them and UConn, but UConn wanted to be a full member. But anywho, back to the Pac-12 stuff. Like, if they get Utah State, that's seven for the Mountain West, seven for the Pac-12. Dude, can you guys just kiss and just form your 14-team league and just be done with it? Are we really going to have like a 17 Mountain West and a 17 Pac-12, which, by the way, you can't have?
Well,
that means you're now adding, like, you know, a North Dakota State and a South Dakota State to each one to get to eight?
Yeah, I think that the big consideration here that we didn't talk about last segment is that for the longest time, I feel like these leagues and some of these schools, not maybe not all these leagues, but some of these schools, particularly the two in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
They were holding out to see if they could build a conference that would be the fifth Power Four league.
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, well, that's what they were trying to do. They were saying, okay, there's only four Power Four leagues. Yeah. What if when this is all, you know, because they were thinking the ACC was going to break up, and then maybe we could put together a league that is good enough to get Power Four or then Power Five status. Yeah. I think why all this is happening now is that they've realized that is not happening. The ACC is going to stay together. The Big 12 is saying that they're going to stand pat. So now it's like, okay, let's rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic with all these group of five schools, and it doesn't really matter how it all falls. Conference USA, Mountain West, Pac-12, AAC. It really, it's kind of all the same.
Just a hodgepodge.
Yeah, so just, I don't know where the Pac-12 goes next.
It's just so weird to think about the Mountain West, like an 8-team conference, really, for the Mountain West and the Pac-12, when you're sitting right there geographically, just, I mean, just sitting next to each other, and you know, half the Pac-12 members were Mountain West teams, and now you're elevating. I mean, there's no one else. Like, there's really nowhere else to go other than if you just want to start elevating, you know, the FCS schools.
North Dakota State.
Yeah.
South Dakota State.
Yeah, but each one needs to grab one. I mean,
Montana?
It's just, yeah, Montana. I mean, if you want to go down that road, it's just, it seems silly that the Mountain West and the Pac-12, and now I'm assuming that there's bad blood, obviously, because of the scheduling thing and now the poaching. And, you know, I was reading a thing, Brett McMurphy had it, or maybe it was Pete Thamel, was saying that a lot of the other conferences now just view the Pac-12 as predators, and you know, I can't fault the Pac-12. They got preyed upon, but everyone was kind of rallying the troops against the Pac-12, and so I don't know if there is even, like, a room to negotiate to go to the Mountain West and be like, yeah, I know we couldn't work it out before, but look, both of us have seven schools. The Utah State, by the way, is expected to take the offer, right? That seems to be the general consensus here from reporters that Utah State is going to accept. And then you're sitting there with seven each. Doesn't it just make sense to go back to the bargaining table and meld those two together and come up with a pretty solid 14-team conference where you can still have a conference title game, go to the table with a new media deal and try to scrounge up maybe, you know, again, somewhere in that $10 to $12 million range?
Yeah, I guess. Unless you could get Bishop Sycamore.
Like, what? Where else?
What are they doing?
There's just no other teams.
They don't exist.
Well, there are other teams. It's just...
Really?
Well, there are.
You going to go get PLU? You going to get Willamette? Are you?
No, of course not.
What's Portland State up to?
I mean,
this is, you know.
I see. I got to look around. I'm gonna go look around. I'm gonna get them some teams.
It's just
right now. How about Liberty? What are they doing?
It's just bad. It's just, you know,
they're a pretty good program.
I appreciate. Well, they were in the BCS. I appreciate rebuilding the Pac-12, and you know, and trying to come out of this feeling good about yourself. But I mean, at this point, I don't know where you go from here. I don't know how you feel good about it other than, you know, I guess, like you said, at the end of the day, if you're trying to put a positive spin on it, I guess it really doesn't matter. Right. Cause they're all kind of the same. And whether you have eight teams or nine teams or whoever it is, just try to win as many games as possible and try to be the best of the group of five or group of six. And try to get some sort of access to a playoff.
James Madison just beat North Carolina.
Yeah.
They'll get them.
They hung 70 on them in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Who would have thought James Madison would be the one to force Mac Brown to retire?
It's hard to go get a team from the other side of the country, though, for not a lot of money.
They're too far.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing when, you know, when you're making a ton of money to travel across the country, but when you're not talking about big dollars, yeah, that makes it tough. Because Liberty's in, Liberty's in Conference USA, are they not?
Yes.
And so, like, I don't know what that payout is. But you could make the argument that if they came calling, why wouldn't the AAC come calling and be like, dude, we can give you the same thing and you don't have to travel to the West.
Yeah, you're right. There's not a lot out there, is there?
No, there isn't.
North Texas is sitting out there. Well, if you want to get into the state of Texas.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of the problem is that by positioning yourself out West, you're really having to look way far away. And it's hard to convince those teams that you want to, because you're not just, this isn't a big financial boom. It's just not. It's not a lot of money. And remember, it's not just about football, because this is the same conversation we had to have about the Big Ten schools, you know, and you're like, oh my God, think of all the travel costs, but you know, and everything that goes into that and the pain in the ass, but there's so much money involved there. This is not, and these athletic budgets just aren't, they're not like that. And so I think some of that stuff to go get teams out of the South to come out here and play Boise and play Oregon State and play Washington State, and when you're playing in front of 35,000 seat crowds, boy, I just don't know how attractive that is.
All right, well, we'll keep you posted. Looks like UNLV, Air Force staying in the Mountain West. It looks like Tulane, Memphis, UTSA, and South Florida staying in the American Athletic. And the offer has been extended to Utah State.
And it is expected that Utah State will say yes. If Utah State says no...
Go Beavers! How about that?
And then maybe Gonzaga for hoops. I don't know. All right, coming up next, let's get to our college football catwalk. We'll start with USC Michigan when we return on The Fan. Mm-hmm.